Oh, let's love the Lord right now. The presence of the Lord is here for a reason. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, my, my, my. Haven't we been visited by the presence of the Lord this week? I'm so thankful that God cares enough about us that the Scripture promises us He is ever mindful of us. I'm thankful for a God that has got me on His mind. Amen. Felt such a touch of the Holy Ghost in every service. Such a wonderful word from God that has been delivered already in this meeting. There seems to have been a common theme and thread in the Spirit. That's always comforting. Should be to the pulpit and the pew. To know that the same God that you've been talking to has been saying the same things to your brethren across the country. He sends His word on the four winds. Amen. And it shouldn't surprise us. Sometimes it does, but it shouldn't. The Holy Ghost has brought us all together with one theme in mind. Appreciate my friend and fellow laborer to preach Wednesday night, Where's the Voice of John? Amen. I'm so appreciative of that. And we heard about the time, the timing, the visitation of God yesterday. So thankful for that. Amen. I'm glad that the carpenters still win. Hallelujah. That's comforting. Just keep on building. Sometimes when you're building, you don't see a whole lot of change in one day's time. You keep coming back at it. Amen. Keep following the set of plans. Don't deviate one way or the other. Amen. The plans are already set for us. And this morning, I'm thankful for that word from the Lord about the kingdom. Amen. And what this is all about. Amen. I wish I had thunk of that. Amen. You heard the powerfully anointed word of God this morning. God speaks to me in plain ways. I don't know how He talks to the rest of you fellas. If He used words like I heard today, I'd just be standing there like the men on the mountain. Hallelujah. So any of you that were thinking that today, hey, it's your blessed night. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. I've never been accused of being vague or abstract. Amen. No Jackson Pollock in the pulpit tonight. Amen. But we're thankful for this meeting and all that it means to all of us. Thank you, Elder Bass, for having this. 16 years ago, I was here, right in that spot. My life was turned around to never be the same. Right on that spot. Amen. I have memories of gratitude and thankfulness that the same man that went to the altar that day is not the man that's here tonight. Because God makes a change. Aren't you thankful for a God like that? Amen. God bless the ministry that's here. They've got food prepared, I'm sure. If you want to, you can go ahead right now and go on and fellowship and eat. We'll be there in about 25 minutes. But I want to make sure to thank Sister Bass. She's an integral part of all of this and the Bass family. God has blessed Florida. Oh, if he's your pastor, you should be so proud. Amen. And all of you elders that are here, God bless you. I don't want to go start naming names. I'll forget. But I do feel as if the Lord has spoken to us all. And I cannot say that there was one sermon that went by this week where they didn't make me uncomfortable and that they were quoting my scriptures, saying my points. And Brother Joyner tonight, I know him, known him a long time. And when he was testifying, I reached under my chair to see if my notes were still there. And because he said specifically my title, and I thought, that rascal has taken my notes. But
done it before.
He has. Yes. You know, I knew I had a word from God when the devil showed up.
Yeah.
Just kidding. Just kidding. Amen. How many want to feel like you're at home tonight? I desperately want to feel like I'm at home. I'm not comfortable in this kind of setting. And we've got some help from Landmark here. Everybody's from Landmark. Wave your hand and say hallelujah. Oh, yeah. We're glad to be in this meeting together. Aren't you glad we're here?
Yeah.
Amen. The devil didn't want us to be, but here we are. We want that to be written in his book. But you hit me with your best shot and I'm still standing.
Yeah.
Amen. Aren't you glad to still be standing tonight?
Yeah.
Since you have your Bibles, why don't we get into the word of the Lord and turning them to Joshua chapter 3. I'll also be reading a companion scripture found in 1 Samuel chapter 4. And where it goes from there, that's up to the Lord. Amen. How many is going to help me tonight?
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Joshua chapter 3. Verse 1 says, "And Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass, after 3 days, that the officers went through the hosts, and they commanded the people, saying, When you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priest, the Levites, bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that you may know the way by which you must go." There's a reason. That you may know the way by which you must go. Somebody say, must go.
Must go.
It's not optional. We must go that way. "For ye have not passed this way heretofore. And Joshua said unto the people, Sanctify yourselves." Somebody say, sanctify.
Sanctify.
"For tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. And Joshua spake unto the priests, saying, Take up the ark of the covenant and pass over before the people. And they took up the ark of the covenant and went before the people. And just for the sake of knowing we are on the same page tonight in the Holy Ghost, I wasn't going to read this, but Brother Varnum said, "And the Lord said unto Joshua, This day I will begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel." Aren't you glad for confirmation?
Amen.
1 Samuel chapter number 4. "And the word of Samuel came to all Israel. Now Israel went out against the Philistines to battle and pitched beside Ebenezer, and the Philistines pitched in Aphek. And the Philistines put themselves in array against Israel, and when they had joined battle, Israel was smitten before the Philistines. And they slew of the army in the field about 4,000 men." The point that I would like to extract in this passage is found in verse 3. "And when the people were come into the camp, the elders of Israel said, Wherefore hath the Lord smitten us today before the Philistines? Notice, let us fetch the ark of the covenant of the Lord out of Shiloh unto us, that when it cometh among us," notice, they were somewhere where it wasn't, "but when it cometh among us, it may save us out of the hands of our enemies." Let the church say amen to the reading of the word of God.
Amen.
Amen. Let's ask the Lord to help the preacher tonight, to help the hearer tonight. Jesus, I desperately need your help. God, I'm so out of sorts. But I know if you're scared, God, your work will be accomplished and we'll be so eternally grateful. Let us go from this meeting, God, with clear note and certain direction, purpose-oriented drive, God, that we can go home. Let the kingdom be lived and accomplished and glorified through us, we pray. In your precious and lovely matchless name under heaven among men, whereby we must be saved. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's glorify the Lord for his word. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. You can be seated if you're going to help tonight. Amen. The Lord bless you in Jesus' name. I have been thinking about the line of thought, and it is clear to me that it is a desire of God that we would seek after Him rather than what He can give us. We seek after His friendship and His fellowship and His presence rather than seeking after all the fishes and loaves type of mentality that so many enter the house of God for. God's wanting to have a relationship with this church age, if you will, that exceeds what it has attained at this point, I believe. I'm not so sure that I subscribe to this great end time revival, and I don't want to say that recklessly, but I do believe this, that we will and are having revival in the end time. It's not as if we're waiting for a certain time to come, but I believe if we are passionate in our pursuit of the visitation of God, if we live a life and a mindset that is centered upon, is Jesus with me at this moment? Is He happy with the direction that I'm headed? Is He pleased with what I've accomplished this far? Am I missing something, or is yet something undone that I'm missing out on because I have wandered beyond the path where the Lord has had for me to trod? I believe that if there was ever a prayer for this church age to pray, it is, God, come and visit with us. Don't feel pressured by our schedule. Don't feel put out by our apathy. Amen. Our lack of concern. God, give us an understanding like the men of Issachar that had an understanding of the times that they live in. I believe we need to know the time that we're living in is God's beautiful work being fulfilled to fruition. This is the apex. This is the greatest hour. I know it is a dark day, and I realize that there are times that there are uncertainties about us, and we're not sure what's going to happen on the morrow. And as Jehoshaphat said, we see this great company that's come against us. And yes, we are afraid, but one thing is different about our fear than others. We're going to stay right here because this is where we belong. And we are going to set ourselves to seek You, Lord. I'm not looking for solutions. If I'll get You, my solution will be. If I'll get Your presence in. I don't want to get His presence in my life. I want to get my life in His presence. Well, hallelujah. God's intent and purpose for the glory was that we would pursue it. Oh, yeah. That we would passionately pursue Him and not the tingles, not the thrills, not the chills. That we wouldn't buy into this mentality, let me perform so I can impress somebody. I want You to like me. Don't get me wrong, but I want Jesus to be satisfied. I want the glory of God with me tonight. Hallelujah. God is a God of position. God is a God of order. God has a way. The old song says you can't go over. God's got a way that you can't go under. God's got a way that you can't go around it. But you must go through the door. You got to do it God's way. I said you got to do it God's way. Hallelujah. God's got a way. Somebody say a way. Hallelujah. We're not all on different paths going to the same direction. But there's one highway. It's the highway of separation. It's a straight way. It's a narrow way. Yes, few there will be that find it, but I'm glad that I can be one of that few. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. 16. Jeremiah. Hallelujah. It's all right if I use a reader. I want to be at home. This is the way I do it at home. Amen. I know y'all have fancy projectors and all that. That doesn't impress me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You just don't have the money to buy it yet. That's why we don't have one. Amen. Hallelujah. 6:16. God's got a way. Are you going to stay with me tonight? I know it's getting to feeling pretty good, but we don't need to get in any hurry. I waited all week to preach. Amen. I'm the one that's been not sleeping all week. Now I'm going to go home tonight and sleep.
Thus saith the Lord.
Thus saith the Lord. I care about what the Lord thinks about this church.
Stand ye in the ways.
Stand ye in the ways.
And see.
And see. You got to get in God's ways if you want to see what's going on around here. If you want a revelation and an understanding about the kingdom, you got to find out whatever God's way is and stay with it.
And ask for the old path.
And start asking for some things. The old path.
Where is the good
Where
way?
Where is the good way?
And
I know this isn't popular nowadays, but this is God's way. And ask for the old path wherein is the good way.
And walk therein.
And then walk in them. Some people know the way of God. They ask, but they don't want to know.
Amen.
But this church is a church that finds out what God wants us to do.
Yes.
And then do it.
All right.
Look at your neighbor and say, do it.
Do it.
Oh, hallelujah. Read.
And ye shall find rest for your soul.
Ye shall find rest.
But they said.
They said, no, we got a better way.
We will not walk therein.
We will not walk therein. Read.
Also I set watchmen over you.
Set watchmen over you.
Saying hearken.
Saying hearken.
To the sound of the trumpet.
To the sound of the trumpet. How many knows the trumpet's sounding loud tonight? You know the trumpet's been sounding this week.
All right.
You know the trumpet's been sounding in your life at home. And God is wanting a people that will take the old path. The old path speaks to me of having been traveled before. Amen. I didn't come to preach a new message here tonight, and I didn't come to get your amen. But I believe throughout this conference there has been a theme that says, come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. You're trying to do this on your own way. You're trying to take this down your own path. You're getting frustrated with the lack of results. Why don't you just come and occupy yourself in the well-trodden path? Young man, if you'll allow me to say so, why don't you just do what your pastor did? If you come at a point in your life where you're feeling like nothing's happening, why don't you just draw back on where you came from? God's not changing plans in the middle of the stream here. God's had a way. It's been that way from the start. God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light. That it was good. Hallelujah. Somebody say good. And God divided. Amen. The light from the darkness. Verse 6 said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters. And let it divide.
That's right.
Verse 14, God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven. To divide. Somebody say divide. The day from the night. Verse 16, and God made two great lights. The greater light to rule the day. And the lesser light to rule the night. If you're in a dark time or if you're in the daytime, God's got a way that you can see. Well said, God's got a way that you can see. And he made the stars also. I like that. What a beautiful example and an illustration of the ministry. How many know the stars are not supposed to move? God flung them into space and they've stayed there. If there was ever a day and an hour for the ministry to stand firm, we haven't been here before. But we have the glory. We have the approval. We have the presence. And yes, we can step out in the water. There's a place that God wants us to go, and he saw fit that the glory would precede it. Oh, hallelujah. You're going to stay with me while I get this thing to where I feel like God would have us to go. Amen. The thing that God stressed was he was a God of position and order.
All
God is a God that lights things in order. God is not the author of confusion. Amen. Where confusion is, there is every evil work. We don't have time for confusion. We don't have time for different voices. We don't have time for people that say the way that we've trodden is outdated. That we've got to take a different approach. That we no longer need to preach conviction in the church to make somebody feel like they're wrong. Hallelujah. Wasn't it John that pointed at Jesus and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world." If God will give me help tonight, I want to preach to you the glory is in the separate place. The glory is in the separate place. To be separate means to be apart. To be separate means to not touch or be connected. To be separate means that we're not in the same place. We are not related. We have no thing in common. We are distinct in our individuality. We are distinct in our personality. Our culture is different. The cultures of this world should not influence the culture of Christ. We're not getting our direction from anyone else or any other thing, because God's got a way.
Oh yeah, man's got a way. 14 and 12 of Proverbs said, "There is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways," plural, "of death." There's one thing for sure. If we get our way, there are going to be all kinds of directions this church will go. We cannot drive revival into existence. We cannot force revival to happen. We have got to learn to follow the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. That same pillar that departed not from the children of Israel as long as they wandered around in wilderness. As long as their desire was for the things that God brought them out of. God's been a God of division and a God of order and a God of separation. Oh yeah, somebody's saying, "Well, you don't believe that." Yeah, we do believe that. That's why we have happening what we've got happening. Not fancy preaching, not fancy music, just a visitation of God. Hallelujah. We live in a time, and it's been stated, and I don't want to spend a whole lot of time like I'm scared of this happening. Amen. But we do not need to merge into anything. I'm not so sure that it's good to run with the pack nowadays. I'm not so sure it's the right thing to be whining about the loneliness of the will of God in our life. The old song I've been singing a lot, "If Jesus goes with me, I'll go anywhere. 'Tis heaven to me, where'er I may be, if he is there. I count it a privilege." Are you still with me? "His cross to bear. If Jesus goes with me, I'll go anywhere." Oh yeah. God's got a way. And if we're going to have a church, we're going to have to go that way. Are you getting the point that I'm trying to make? Amen. There was a time in Israel's sojourn that there was need for transition. There was a state of affairs among them that I believe God got to the point where he said, "I'm done with this. I'm tired of this." He had tried to teach them of old in the book of Exodus in the 19th chapter. And he said to Moses, he said, "Make a boundary around about the mountain." The Bible did not state that God told him where to make the boundary. But it does state that he said to make the boundary. I can't tell you where to put the line. But I can tell you this, you're responsible for where you draw the line. And where you draw the line will be all the difference in your struggle. My question to you is this: if you love God,
you want his favor, why wouldn't you want to draw it in a safe place? If you love your babies, and if you love your history, your history means anything to you, and your future has anything to do with what you care about. Let's seek the separate place. The glory's in the separate place.
Hallelujah. I've heard, and if God will help me, I'll try to make sense of all this. It's all coming at me. This is the first time for me, too. Amen. I've never heard this before either, so I'm rehearsing it in your ears. Hallelujah. But we hear the phrase Shekinah. It's been said in this conference, and I don't know that it's ever stated in Scripture, but we are to understand that Shekinah is the visible evidence of the presence of God, if I'm not mistaken.
All right. Well, I hope so.
Amen. Preach no strange thing here. But we know that the dwelling place of God was over the mercy seat. Hallelujah. I do not believe that this message needs to take on a harshness. That it needs to become our self-righteousness. And the badge that we wear to make us feel all right. But if the glory of God can be exemplified in the tabernacle, which it is, it was in the separate place. As a matter of fact, there was a couple curtains that separated the glory place from anybody entering there. God's been a God of order and boundaries. Well, hallelujah. The Bible said that the sons of Eli were sons of Belial. Belial means that they were without profit. Belial means that they were worthless. They were priests. But they weren't profitable preachers. They were priests, but they were worthless. They offered strange fire. They had a mindset, let's go our way, fight our battles, conquer our own territory. And when we get in trouble, that's when we'll call for the ark. And in that day, there was a Hophni and there was a Phinehas that would do the bidding of the people.
You think I'm going to get mean and ugly here. I'm not getting mean and ugly. The glory's over the mercy seat. If you're going to make an error, err on the side of mercy every time and you'll be all right. They don't look as good going as they do coming to this preacher. But I tell you one thing, I'm not willing to compromise when it comes to separation. Let me just preach apostolic doctrine. I know we all believe it, but we need to preach it in conferences. You come to the altar first when you go to the tabernacle. We still need to preach the message of repentance. The old man has got to die. The old man has got to be transformed and made anew. That's God's plan. His glory's always been separate, and he still wants it that way. Hallelujah. And when you do your work at an old-fashioned altar of repentance, don't get in a hurry. Don't try to push them through the cattle chute. They're not cattle. They're sheep. And sheep need to be led. You can't force a revival to happen before God's presence gets there. Because it's the presence of God where the outpouring of the glory falls. Hey! Hophni and Phinehas had a practice, Elder Bass. They sent service with meat hooks. And they demanded the meat and the fat. They said, give it to us now, lest we take it from you immediately, if you will. Can I tell you, that's an example of impatient preachers. God, give me enough confidence in your way to know that we're going to sit here for 3 days, if we need to, by Jordan's River. Until we get clear note direction. And when that happens, the ark of God will be carried upon the priesthood. We have got a responsibility as young men. Let me just preach to us. Amen. Y'all elders know this. But the ark of testament it is referred to. The commandment
minutes were in there. God's do's and don'ts are still important today. We live in a day of suggestion, as it's been said. This would be a good idea. God would prefer this or that. But the men of God that are going to be men that have the glory and evidence in their lives. Oh, stay with me just a while. Hallelujah. Are going to be men that preach with authority and preach the commandments of God. We bear the burden of responsibility for the glory of God in the camp. Oh, hallelujah. I don't want to get in a hurry. And the Bible said before or ere the lamp of God went out in the temple where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep, that the Lord called Samuel and he answered, "Here am I." Can I tell you, God's in control. All right. Everything's all right with the church. Yeah. Yeah. I said everything's all right with the church. Yeah. Stay with me. Stay with me. Stay with me. It's not going to get any different than this. Just rejoice with me and it'll get over faster. But the times we live in, I don't want to wear that phrase out, so help me not to. Hallelujah. Is the day that Isaiah prophesied. And in that day, seven women shall take hold of one man, saying, "We will eat our own bread and wear our own apparel. And let us be called by, only let us be called by thy name to take away our reproach." Now, I don't want to be ugly and I don't want to be unkind, but we all know that the fire from heaven is the acceptance. That God is accepting sacrifice, correct? Amen. And when the glory's not falling, there's got to be a reason. Let me say this. I don't have a pessimistic view of the church. I believe that this year will be the best that we've ever seen. If you don't believe that for you, that's fine. But we're going to have church in Landmark. This is going to be a good year. The economy's not going to run us in the ground. The changes in society's not going to change the way we view the glory. The apparent successes of those around us. The largesse and the accompaniments that come with the crowd aren't going to intimidate the real church into compromise. Because the scripture also said, "In that day shall the branch of the Lord be beautiful and glorious." So there is a church in that day. So those around us saying, "We want our own food. We'll drink our own drink. But just let us be called by the name." You realize this isn't a new emergent thing. This is the same thing that's been going on since the beginning. And what we need to do is understand that it's not going to take a new formula. It still takes repentance. It still takes water baptism in Jesus' name. It still takes all of that to get the glory. Well, hallelujah, hallelujah. The Bible said, "When the Lord shall have washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion and shall have purged the blood of Jerusalem from the midst thereof, it would be done by the spirit of judgment and by the spirit of burning." Are you following me? "And the Lord will create upon every dwelling place of Mount Zion and upon her assemblies a cloud and a smoke by day and the shining of a flaming fire by night. For upon all the glory shall be a defense." I'm preaching defensively today. Because we have something worth. I'm not trying to imply that the church is in jeopardy. It's not. But we need to love it and treasure it. It's the presence and glory of God. I want church to continue like it's continuing at our assembly. I'm afraid of this that I'm seeing, in the sense that I don't want, because my friends are doing it.
Yeah.
And the hammer hasn't fallen. That it means it's divine acceptance. Because there's a time coming where it's going to crash down suddenly around their ears. And yes, it does affect me.
All right.
We need a tabernacle for a shadow in the daytime. Because there's heat. And we need a place of refuge for a covert from the storm. Are you with me? Now I will sing my well-beloved song of my beloved touching his vineyard. My well-beloved has a vineyard in a very fruitful hill. Can I tell you, this is the best time for the church. We hear stories of old, but I'm telling you, I'm not living yesterday. I'm here right now. I'm standing at the crossroads right now. I don't want to get myself in a battle where the presence of God is not. Hey! I want to stay where the ark's at. I want to pitch my tent towards the tabernacle.
Hey! Hallelujah! That song that was sang to the well-beloved. He said, and he fenced it. The first thing he did with the vineyard was put a wall around it. That wall was not there for fear that the vineyard would escape. The wall's not there for fear that the church will wander. I pastor a church that they want to be there. I'm not worried about them leaving there. If you're in love with the way of God, it isn't too hard. I know they say that when you get straight with this, that you're labeled fanatic. I know people, and I don't want to be too specific because I don't want to bring personality into this. This is just the way of God. They think we're nuts. They think I'm crazy. That just the simple act of preaching a funeral and daring to make the distinction about the beauty of the legacy of the name would scare people away. I thought that's what we're about. I thought that is a big deal. Huh? I visited one of the mother churches of this generation's Pentecost. The pastor's wife came out. I'm not going to describe too much. Because I don't want you to know who I'm talking about. Because I'm not about that. But her hair was as short as yours, Brother Pixler. The glory was gone. I said the glory was gone. It still matters. And contrary to popular opinion, saying it right now is still all right. It doesn't run people off. I said it does not run people away. People want to know what the truth is. Hallelujah, hallelujah. The first thing God did about his vineyard was he put a wall there to protect and to defend it. There's one thing for sure. I'm glad to know that God's fighting for me. That God's got my cause in mind. That this vineyard is a very fruitful one and God will protect it so it can grow. Let me tell you something. We're not holding the fort till Jesus comes. We're not hunkering down and saying nobody wants this message. That this is too unpalatable. I'm going to tell you, to the hungry, even the bittersweet. What we need to do is God baptize our pews with a bunch of people that are desperate for God in their life. That the world has let them down. Tradition has failed them. Their ties and their habits have got them nothing but in trouble. We need people that are willing to come by way of the altar. The way of the altar. He didn't put a fence there to keep the church in. He put a fence there to keep the predator out. If there was ever a time in my life I've been passionately thankful and in love with Jesus, it's because he put some boundaries about me. That when I bow down to pray,
I dare not make this political, but I'm not sorry to be an American. You're not apologizing for me. I got family that died that I could preach like this. I got family that give their life in foreign soil that we had a right to catch hold of this kingdom mentality. That I can dream of my baby boy pastoring a church somewhere and being ready to do so before I'm ready to throw in the towel. That I can be selfless enough to let our children go out from the local assembly, knowing that God is doing a work through us even when they're not at the home church. You're hearing an offshoot of a man you never even heard his name. But if it wouldn't be for Bishop Lawson, I wouldn't be preaching here tonight. If it wasn't for a man that brought up a man by the name of Bishop Halsey, I wouldn't be here tonight. If it wasn't for Bishop Halsey bringing up a man, my pastor, Bishop Archer, I wouldn't be here tonight. He's still pastoring the home church, but God's got a plan that's greater than a personal kingdom. This is God's church. We belong to Him. The earth is His and the fullness thereof. This is my church. And I don't pastor somebody else's former church. I'm pastoring the church of the living God. And I'll stay pastoring there as long as I stay where the glory's at. And the glory is in the separate place. The song went on to say that He gathered out the stones thereof. Can I tell you, in this church, God has shone a light upon it. He's made clear His paths. He's made straight His ways. He's made it to where we can rest. Oh, Landmark, you know what scripture I'm going to quote. I've been writing this because it's one every time. 32 and 17 of Isaiah. And the work of righteousness shall be peace. The effect of righteousness, quietness, and assurance. How long? This is an eternal thing. My salvation's not hanging by a thread. I'm going to scare some of you right now, but my security is alive and well. And I'm apostolic. We don't need churches that have people backsliding, coming back, backsliding, coming back. There's something in this. He took the stone of stumbling out of the midst of it. He took out the hard places in our spirit. He can still take a heart of stone and put a heart of flesh in its place. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 17, he is a... not the old man, but a new man. Old things are, and behold, all things are become new. That's no accident. We're in the process of becoming. Where we're at now is not where we're going to be at tomorrow if we'll keep following the glory. I'm not summoning the glory. I'm going after the glory. I'm not trying to fit God into my plan. I'm trying to fit me into His plan. The book said He gathered out the stones thereof. And then it said, and He planted it with the choicest of vines. Hallelujah. I got to say this. This is my favorite part. Jesus said in John 15 and verse number 1, I am the true vine. And my Father is the husbandman. I'm glad to know that we've got Jesus in the midst. I don't need to impress nobody with my education. Well, I'm not advocating mediocrity either. Well, hallelujah. But there was one thing about the disciples of Jesus. When the common man looked at them, it didn't take them very long to figure out that they were ignorant and unlearned. Whatever ignorant means to you, take it home, write it home. Hallelujah. But there was one thing they knew. They had been with Jesus. I'm going to tell you, when you got Jesus, you got the choice vine. You got the cream of the crop. When you got Jesus, you got the healer and the healing. You got the deliverance and the delivering. Hallelujah. You got the fighter of all battles won. You got the captain of your salvation. You got the chief shepherd. Oh, hear me tonight. We don't need to seek all the fishes and loaves when we got the choice vine.
I'm going to tell you through this Holy Ghost experience, this glory experience that comes as a result of separating from out. Makes me a part of the vine.
Amen.
Colossians 1:27, to whom God make known what is the riches of His glory, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Amen.
Amen. We're not sitting here shaking or biting our fingernails tonight. But we're standing here waiting, saying, we have no might against this company, but our eyes are on you. I said our eyes. Oh. And as long as we can see Jesus where we're at.
Yeah.
He'll set ambushments up against the enemy. And he'll get them fighting themselves. Some of the things that are going on right now in our world are the best thing that can happen to our local assemblies. Somebody said, what are you going to do when they start coming? I'm going to start letting them. They want a safe place, right? Where the fence has been kicked down is vulnerable. I don't know how close I can get to you right now. But when they start losing their children left and right, because there's nothing to keep them, because the glory's not there. Can I tell you about Hophni and Phinehas? They offered strange fire. Oh, they had fire, all right. Some of y'all are uncomfortable. Help me right now. Some of you preachers, I'm trying to help. Amen. They got a whole lot of rocking. They got a rocking chair religion. Whole lot of moving and shaking. They ain't getting nowhere. They got a form and a fashion. But the power's still in the separate place. John 14:17 said that this vine, through the Holy Ghost, would be called even the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad for the separate place? Well, woe to this rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me. That cover with a covering, but not of my spirit. That they may add sin to sin. Hear me now. There's been public debate going on right now about whether or not it's all right to learn from Trinitarians. Oh, I shouldn't have said that, but I did. And put them behind the pulpit. I'm sorry. Anybody see that little blonde-headed boy run up here with a pacifier in his mouth? That's my baby. I care about him. I don't want no three-God devil getting around him. I don't want no cross-eyed Christian. Some of you are uncomfortable with this. That's because you don't have a revelation of the mighty God in Christ. It is a big deal. That pastor's wife I'm telling you about, she said, we need to stop making such a big deal about the name. We're offending people. No, 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 no. If you can pray over the meal in Jesus' name, you can pray over the sick in Jesus' name, you can baptize them in Jesus' name. Because that is the name of the Father. I said, that is the name of the Father. That is the name of the Holy Ghost. That is the name. Yeah, this is apostolic. Jesus said, I and my Father are one. 1:20 of Matthew, the angel said, be not afraid to take her to be your wife. That which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. That means the third person in the Godhead really is the first person. Now think about that. Colossians, right? In him dwelleth all.
want to see it in the face of Jesus Christ.
The word fence has a root word meaning defense. The defense comes from the root word fence. I'll get this right. Baptize me with Brother Pixler's mind just a moment here, God. And I'll impressicate him. Colin, you feel that? I was already inventing words. The song didn't end there. But the book said he put a tower in the midst. Yes, the name is important. The name of the Lord, 18 and 10 of Proverbs, is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and are. Hallelujah. This is a secure message. Hallelujah. Round home, we believe in the security. I said, round home, we believe in security. That you can be unblameable and unreprovable in His sight if you continue in Him. If you stay in the vineyard. This church is predestined. You hear me? I'm not scared of this. Because if I stay in Him, as many as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. When the accuser looks at me, he can't point a finger of blame. Because he's pointing at Jesus. I got him on. I not only have him on, but I got him in. That's why I have hope. That's why I'm going to tell you with no uncertainty that our church is going to grow. Because it's got a divider. And it's not to keep the folks from running, but it's to protect the folks that run to it. There's a tower in the midst of her. I said, there's a tower in the midst of her. And I'm going to tell you something else he said was in that vineyard. He said, I put the wine press in the midst of it. Everything you need is found in the church. I said, everything you need is found in the church. Through the Holy Ghost, whatever the need that arises, we can, through the Spirit, see it supplied. There's no need to go anywhere else for the answers. Now, I do have book for this. I said, I do have book for this. I don't care if they got big crowds and the accolades of man. That doesn't impress me. That's not how God measures success. They may have strange fire, but I want the real fire. Hallelujah. One that can take a man. Hallelujah. That can be gone from the vineyard for 20 years and come back to the house of God. It can take a sister that's been away for 17 or 18 years that can stand up in testimony service with hands raised and tears running down their face. It can take a man that's been gone for over 20 years that can say with uncertainty, thank God the church still was the church when we found our way home. I'm going to tell you our outreach plan at Landmark. If I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men. Somebody say all. That means the strange. That means the new one. Can I tell you our outreach will be our outreach? Because if the vine is fruitful, it'll grow, baby. And you don't have to tear the fence down to get it to happen. Because the glory is in the separate place. I said the glory is in the separate place.
Blessed is the man
that walketh not
in the counsel of the ungodly.
That means you don't get your direction, your advice, your idea, your game plan from the ungodly. The wine press is in the midst of the vineyard. Everything we need's in the church. I'm not waiting to steal somebody from another church to fulfill a role we don't yet have.
have. I'm in the process of raising them up right now, Brother Pitt. Thank you for saying that. That lets me know I'm not off my rocker to have my 5, 6, and 7-year-olds reading for me in Sunday morning Bible class. That I can situate my Sunday school program so they can get out to where the teachers and the kids are hearing pastor teach every Sunday. Where it's no strange thing for the preacher to call one of the children to the platform and give them a mic and say, "Preach, preacher."
Yes, sir.
Oh, I'm feeling a little bit wild and woolly right now. Somebody said, "Well, you can't call them to preach." I'm not so sure.
Come on.
Because if you put all the means there, who's God going to use? The willing and obedient. You go ahead and let your children do whatever in the world and see how they turn out. Go ahead and criticize me and call me an old fogey for letting them walk the path that I walked as a little boy. That I had a revelation Monday morning where we were going to be at Tuesday night. Well, hallelujah. And Wednesday morning we knew where we was going to be at Thursday night. We were going to be the first ones there and the last ones to leave. That it was no mean thing. Nobody said much about this, and I'm not saying it because you didn't. I'm just saying because it's on my heart. The fences still needs to be there.
Yeah.
Our homes need to be different. I'm getting ready to bite something right now. Hallelujah. Well, I've been hearing this. Smart Aleck.
Come on.
Can I say cocky?
Yeah.
Cocky. I want to be sure. Then we find another word. Ask Brother Pitcher to make one up. Know it all. I hope you don't think I'm preaching like that tonight. I haven't been at this long, and there's times where I stand and go, "God, what do I do next? I don't know." I can admit that. I'm not ashamed of it. You know it already. There's no sense in me denying it. But saying, you don't have scripture for that.
Absolutely.
I don't?
Yeah.
Well, let's see.
Uh-huh.
What?
Put the book on it.
Let's put the book on it. That's how we roll. What's the book say? I said, what's the book say? Somebody's got to be a guardian of the glory. We got to have a clear understanding how the glory came, how it stayed, and if it's going to last, how will it last? Now, I'm not going to quote to you 2 Corinthians chapter 6, come out from among them and be you separate, because you all know that. That's not the only scripture we have for putting the fence up. Well, hallelujah. Chapter 7 said there, therefore having these promises, there's promises in separation. This fence and this line, some of y'all aren't with me right now. Well, you're smiling because other people are. Hallelujah. But we are living a favored life inside the fence. We're living a fruitful life inside the fence. We're not standing at the edge of the fence looking how wonderful you got it, because everything we need is in the house. Oh, hallelujah. So he said, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness. Somebody say perfecting. That's living in the process of becoming. That's not getting discouraged because it ain't how it's supposed to be yet, but having enough confidence to stay there until our change comes. That's walking the forest, praying in the church when it's empty, saying, "God, will there ever be anybody praying with me?" That's teaching Wednesday night Bible class when you see more blue pews than you see hungry souls. That's keep on putting the shoulder to the plow when it looks like you're having a greater revival at the back door than at the pulpit. Stick around for the change. You're a chosen generation. John 15 said, "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you. I'm lifting you up.
Yes,
above
yes.
your brethren. I'm magnifying the ministry, not to put them on a pedestal to praise, but let there be a mark of distinction between you and the ark.
Right.
Why? Because if you get too familiar with the ark, you're going to die.
Yes. Right.
Amen. Right. The preacher's your best friend, but he isn't your buddy. There needs to be a reverence for the pulpit. I'm not talking about one that's taken advantage and abused. I'm talking about knowing that this is where our hope comes from. This is where marching orders. We march to the beat of this drum, not to the one of the world. Hallelujah.
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 Thank you.
Can I preach for just 10 more minutes? How many will give me 10 minutes? 10, 20, 30, 40. Thank you. We're together. Hallelujah. We have got to have a guardian of the glory experience. And to do so, we have got to use book for it. The apostle wrote to us and said, take heed therefore unto yourselves. So first I need to be sure that I'm straight.
Yeah.
That I got my spirit right.
Right.
That I'm not an arrogant good for nothing.
Right.
That I'm a profitless priest. That I'm a self-centered, impatient, violent man. That's pastoring with a self-will, not a humility.
Right.
That does not forget that the glory hovers above the mercy seat. Give me a Moses mentality. That will look and say, God, don't do what you say you're going to do.
Yeah.
Give me another chance just to say something.
Yeah.
God, let me get the commandments back. I know they're in a state of disrepair. But if we'll go back to the separate place, I may have to do it by hand. And it may be harder to get, but I can still have it. If I go to the separate place,
I gotta hurry.
Take heed unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. That's a one God scripture. For I know this, that after my departing, in the time of transition, shall be grievous wolves that will enter in among you, not sparing the flock. That could care less what happens to the legacy they've been handed. That cares not where the glory of God resides. That has learned to preach and has learned to pray. Play.
If they learn to pray, they won't learn to preach. Hallelujah.
Huh? That has learned how to grow an assembly rather than to build a work. Grievous wolves will come in and offer the easy way. He said, also, I know you don't like to hear this, and I don't like to say it, but it's in there. Of your own selves shall men arise. Speaking perverse things, twisted, different, and they'll draw away disciples after them. Whenever a man's personality becomes so big, it draws people away from the ways of God. I don't want to go with that way. I said, I don't want to go that way. The glory's not there. I said, the glory's not there. He said, therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn you every one night and day with tears. And now, brethren, if there's ever a desire in my heart right now that after this conference, and I don't think it was this way, but if there was any doubt, that you elders would be confident that we're not going to sell the family farm. It may get lonely. Sometimes it is. The separate way is not popular. But it's the way. It is the church. It's not a way or a church. But friend, you are a part of the most glorious thing. You are in the mind of God before he ever said, let there be light. He was the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. You're a part of the greatest thing that God ever put in existence. He created this world for the church. He created the universe for the church.
for the world. The world is here for the church.
Oh, yes, it is. He said, now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace. You didn't think I could preach very long and not say that. Which is able to build you up. Somebody say, build me.
Build me.
It's able to build you up and to give you an inheritance, an identity, sonship, family ties. He's just not my friend. He's my father. Oh, and the inheritance will be among them that are sanctified, among them that have been rendered and declared to be sacred and holy, separate from the things of this world, for the specific purpose and use, not puce, use of kingdom. That's all right, I'm not worried. Fooey. You don't have scripture. Can I close on this? You don't have scripture. First Corinthians chapter 4, if the music wants to come. I'm going to say we do. Line upon line. Precept upon precept. Here a little. Throughout Scripture, we can find that God is a God of line. God is a God of order. God is a God of separation. God takes pride in His personal possession. His bride, His church, that have made themselves ready. Oh yeah. I said they made themselves ready. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 15. For though ye have 10,000s of instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Hallelujah. I want a fatherly spirit to get on me. Not a grandfatherly spirit. A fatherly spirit. That corrects with compassion. That tutors with love and discretion. That doesn't abuse the children but doesn't let them go their own way. To those that say we have no scripture for separation, let me just present this to you. He said, wherefore, brethren, I beseech you that you be followers of me. For this cause I have sent unto you Timotheus, for the transition, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways, which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. The same message you're hearing here tonight is no strange thing to the church at Landmark. I'm not preaching to make you think I'm tough. This isn't tough preaching. This is love preaching. We also have a commandment that's pretty clear. 22 and 28 of Proverbs says, remove not the ancient landmark, which thy fathers have set. What that literally means is don't remove the ancient boundaries and the boundary stones or the boundary lines that were set there by your forefathers. That landmark means a cord that has been bound and twisted into strength for the purpose of creating a boundary around territory, to make a border and a coast, if you will, to put limits in place, to denote possession, inheritance, property, succession. I don't know if you're seeing the importance of this. But 23 and 10 of Proverbs says, remove not the old landmark and enter not into the fields of the fatherless. Don't steal the land from defenseless orphans. Don't rob your children of their heritage. Don't let pressure. Some of y'all may not feel pressure. And you may think I'm a sissy. But it's there every day in my life. And see me after church. We'll see about that sissy stuff. Huh? Yeah, and don't bring a chapstick either. Well, praise the Lord. But I care about what I've got, Elder. I'm glad the score's still what it was 16 years ago when I first came. Can I say I'm glad it's getting better? Not because God changes, but we're following the glory. We have got to realize and keep the importance of authority of church custom and culture. I had somebody tell me recently, the reason why I can't shave is because in my culture, it's hard.
Wow.
I wasn't going to mention that, so I won't bring it up. And I thought to myself for the picture, well, that's amazing. In my culture, it is too. Because it's an authority thing. It's a submission thing. 1 Corinthians 11, anybody knows, is headship and authority and submission to authority. And when the boundary lines are being torn down, oh, yep, y'all got it. I messed a good message up in some of your minds.
Come on.
Huh? There's still offense about it. There still is a difference.
Amen.
The glory, the fire won't fall just anywhere.
Amen. Amen.
All right.
All right, well, I won't have any more preaching places. That's fine. I've got a place at home. But he said, I praise you that you remember me in all things and keep. The word ordinance is used. That's an authoritative decree or direction, an order, a law that is set forth by a governmental authority. Something that is ordained and decreed by God. We need to remind people that God put that authority in place before we ever came along. And we don't have a right to move it. I don't care how smart people get. I don't care whose culture says it means this or that. This is the culture of Christ. There's not Jew nor Greek in this culture. It's not male or female in this culture. This is a Jesus people. And we do it God's way. Oh, come on now. Let's love the Lord right now. Now when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one place in one accord. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, like as of a rushing, mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them the glory. Cloven tongues like as of fire that came as a result of an old-fashioned prayer meeting. Can I tell you, prayer, praise, and preaching is still the formula. The altar, the labor, and the ark is still the plan. We're not reinventing the wheel this far along in the race. Let's just ride it on home. I said, let's just ride it on home. Let's still preach Jesus and Him crucified. Let's still direct people to the cross. Let's still sing songs and preach Bible studies on the power of the blood. Don't take the death out of the message. You take the power from it. Preach Jesus. And the book says, they that hear it, when they heard this, hallelujah, will you lift your voices? They were pricked in their hearts. Old-fashioned Bible preaching. Old-fashioned. Glory comes in the separate place. It's in the separate place. They still say to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Will you preach it with me? Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you shall receive. Somebody say, shall. The gift of the Holy Ghost, for the promise is unto you and to your, to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Those that will come to the separate place, that's who the message is for. And with many other words did he testify and exhort them, saying, oh, it still says it, save yourselves from this untoward, this twisted and warped and perverted generation. Aren't you glad? Right after that, the book says that there were thousands. I'm not afraid of that. The glory's in the separate place. The only thing that will last is that which has been sanctified and set apart. Will you lift your hands and love the Lord right now? Let's thank God for that. Let's thank Him and praise Him for the in the beauty of holiness. Come on, let's praise Him in the beauty of holiness. This message is not ugly, it's beautiful. Let's praise Him in the beauty of holiness.